This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
Good morning. You're now listening to The Breakfast Grill. I'm Roshan Connison. In December 2019, exactly 12 months ago, Soka was on The Breakfast Grill and optimistic about the future. The company was looking to spend just under 100 million ringgit to grow the fleet while also venturing into different services and expand beyond borders. That, however, was a pandemic ago. Is Soka still optimistic about the multi-flex transport model, or will the pandemic drive them out of business? Well, to find out, I've got with me here Leon Fung, CEO of Soka Mobility Malaysia. Leon, welcome back to The Breakfast Grill.
Great to be back, Roshan.
You know, Leon, it's been a tough year. I think we can say that. The various stages of the MCO either completely or partially curbed movement in the economy. People have been working from home, and there's basically been no tourism, aside the little bit of domestic tourism we have. Taking all that into consideration, how bad has business been this year?
So to be honest, I think the COVID pandemic did catch us by surprise. Especially with the severity of the first phase or first wave of lockdowns. So between March and June, we actually saw a kind of 75% impact on our business from a revenue perspective. And those months were very challenging to our core business. However, you know, as a technology startup, and, you know, part of our culture within Soka is for us to be extremely agile, to be able to adapt to, you know, unpredictable market forces. I think since then, we've actually analyzed our business to fully understand what works, what doesn't. And in the second half of this year, we've actually managed to play catch up. And, you know, in fact, you know, between the months of July, August, and September, we had our best months ever in terms of revenue for the group, right? Both for the Soka business as well as our travel peer-to-peer business.
Leon, what was driving that? That sounds, you're saying that's best all-time revenue? What was driving
that? As we saw us moving back into the recovery movement control phase, you know, obviously we saw a lot of people getting back into moving around, wanting to obviously travel around the country, looking for alternate transportation options where they can still drive without having to be within the vicinity of others. So, you know, with that in mind, we actually saw a huge spike in demand for, you know, our kind of both our short-term as well as mid-term car sharing service. And, you know, proud to say that, you know, in the months of July, August, and September, on a segmented basis, our Soka business actually broke even on an EBITDA level.
That's good to hear, Leon. But how is the travel business doing? That's the medium term, right? So P2P car sharing, I can rent it for a few days. It's not the short term, few hours business. How's that been doing?
So we actually made a great decision to launch travel in February, which was just a couple of weeks before they announced the first wave of lockdowns. So to be honest, I think that was a pretty humbling lesson for us because we saw zero growth between the months of March to May. Right. And during those 3 months, you know, we actually took a lot of effort to reflect upon, you know, the business model as well as the viability of peer-to-peer car sharing. And one thing really, really stood out, which is our thesis that as we enter the recovery phase from this pandemic, more and more people will be looking for driving options. Right. Even in a country where there's almost a 1-to-1 ratio of privately registered cars to registered driver's licenses, people will still want to look for new cars to drive or even secondary cars.
I mean, when we take a look at those best ever revenue numbers, I mean, we can attribute some of that to pent-up demand, right? We saw that also in the car sales. First, new cars purchases, when we take a look at the SST waivers and, well, interest rates have been basically halved at this point. The base interest rates anyway have fallen 125 basis points. Car sales have boomed over the last few months, I think averaging around 56,000 units a month sold between July and October. Second-hand cars have also jumped about 25% on year in July. August and September registered 17% on year growth. But those numbers started slowing down in October. Again, I guess everyone's kind of buying up their vehicles. That pent-up demand was there. So again, all this can be partially attributed to pent-up demand. But overall, it doesn't look optimistic for short-term car rentals because consumers look to be gravitating back towards car ownership, Leon. Is this the beginning of the end for the multi-flex transportation model?
No, in fact, I think looking at our current numbers as we enter December, we're super optimistic as we enter 2021. Number one, you're right. People are looking for more and more private vehicle options for them to drive. And in that sense, we offer consumers a huge benefit in terms of affordability. Right? Soul car still remains the most affordable option for anyone who does not have access to a second car or even primary car at home, for them to book a car between 3 to 5 hours. And for people looking to buy a new vehicle or even buy a new secondhand vehicle, Travel actually offers them an option to share some of their monthly installments with other multiflexes on the Travel platform. What this means is you can buy a car, right, and have pretty much 50 to 80% of your installment paid for by just sharing your car on the Travel platform for 6 to 8 days every month.
That sounds great, Leon. But, you know, when we take a look at the numbers, or at least some of the numbers I have, yes, you had a few good months there when mobility was back in play because we went into an RMCO. But in October, we went back into a CMCO, which was a stricter partial lockdown again. And if we take a look at some of the fuel sales numbers from the Petrol Association, that fell back down to around 60% pre-COVID level or pre-MCO level. Not good numbers. That's 40% capacity wiped out. How have your utilization rates been? How have they been affected by the various stages of the different control orders that we've had?
Sure. So in the second phase, you know, due to the fact that we had some learnings from phase one of the MCO, we've actually managed to mitigate some of the headwinds, right, that our business faces. So we always break our business down into short, mid, and what we call longer-term rentals on the Soul Car side, right? By longer-term, we're talking, in fact, just more than 48 hours. I think on the bookings that are greater than 48 hours, we initially saw an impacted business of almost kind of 66 to 70%. However, on the short-term business, which are, bookings lower than 6 hours, we actually saw only a 15-20% impact on the business. So that means our short-term business is actually super resilient. People still need cars to, whether pick up essential services, do a grocery shop for the family. That portion of the business remains very strong. And on top of that, right, we realized that what people really want during times of the pandemic is having more contactless delivery solutions. So what we did, and I talked about this last year as well, is through our Soul Car to You service, where we offer you deliveries of the cars right to your doorstep, and we pick it up from you right from your home. That service actually saw a massive spike in demand.
All right. So was all this translated then into the revenue? I know you said you had a few good months there, but on a 12-month basis, Leon, let's take a look under the Soul Car hood at this point. What's the year-on-year revenue comparison like?
We're actually still up by double-digit percentages.
From 2019's full year?
Yes.
And profitability?
Profitability as well. We're actually up. Yeah.
And are you net profit? Are you there yet? Because last year when we talked...
No, on a net income basis, no.
Not yet.
Right. But as I said, on an EBITDA basis, I think in the second half, really seen that the business can actually hit EBITDA positive. So that gives us a lot of encouragement as we enter 2021. And something that, we're very proud to announce as well is that we spend the first 3 years of our business heavily investing in liquidity in the marketplace. What liquidity means is every time we put a car on the platform, we're very confident that there will be demand for it to be used. Right? What this means is in moving into 2021, it now allows us to work together with other rental car companies who might have been impacted by the pandemic to put their excess supply on our platform and immediately start generating higher yields by sharing their car on the Soul Car platform, right? We're already piloting that with one of our partners, which is actually Simon Darby Rent-A-Car. And we're actually seeing very, very encouraging numbers on a per car unit economics basis, right? If you compare this to the traditional channels, B2C channels, right, of say, people renting a car from the airport, people renting a car from the city offices, we're actually very confident to say that our platform generates a very, very healthy use for their vehicles. And in fact, we're going to scale up the partnership with them.
All right. So last year, when you were on, you told us that you have at all times about 2 years of run of cash to use to run the business.
Yep.
What's that looking like now?
We're very confident that we can actually extend our Soul Car business for many, many more years, especially as we enter next year. We're confident that we can switch on the cash flow positive state, assuming no further aggressive lockdowns. So on the Soul Car business, we're actually comfortable that it's really self-sustaining. All right. On the Travel side, However, we've seen very, very healthy growth, right, this year, despite the pandemic. And we're actually in the midst of looking at raising further capital for us to supercharge that growth in the Travel side.
So what's the priority now between Travel and Soul Car, your core business?
The core business, we have two priorities. One is to really maintain and grow the profitability in that Soul Car business, right? And the second portion is really to leverage travel as the key growth engine. Mm-hmm. Why? Because we understand that Malaysia has a high percentage of car ownership, right? And the high percentage of car ownership means that majority of cars are very underutilized. So we want these cars to basically help the rakyat generate additional income. And that's why we actually launched a partnership together with MOT as well, being the first car sharing company in Malaysia to do so, where under the financial stimulus program, everyone who registers their car on the travel platform stands to get a one-off 200 ringgit incentive.
All right. Have you had to downsize your fleet, close hubs, or retrench employees in response to the last year?
So, you know, I think we're very happy to announce that we did not need to reduce our workforce in any way. And in fact, you know, because of that, because of our new growth engines, such as travel, we've actually managed to increase the number of people on our payroll to support some of these growth activities.
And what about your fleet size? Yeah, last year, you said you wanted to add another 1,000 vehicles to take the fleet to 3,000. Has that been achieved or is that in the air still?
No, I think we rebalanced our targets, you know, in the first quarter this year with the pandemic in mind. So at the end of this year, we've managed to hit 2,300 cars. Mm-hmm. And I think as we enter 2021, our business focus has shifted towards how do we work together with more rental car companies to leverage our platform and our demand.
So trying to be that one platform to bind all these other platforms together?
Well, the one single platform for the multiplexes, yes.
All right, we've got a lot more to talk about, Leon. I've been speaking with Leon Fung, CEO of SoCar Mobility Malaysia. Up next, we'll talk about SoCar's future. Keep it here to the Breakfast Grill on BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
Welcome back to The Breakfast Grill. I'm Roshan Kunnison. This morning, I'm speaking with Leon Fung, CEO of SoCar Mobility Malaysia. They get a check in on the state of the car sharing economy. Leon, earlier I asked you about downsizing. I didn't follow up with the locations, right? So last year, you had 1,300 locations at the end of 2019, behind the target of 1,500. What's your footprint now?
Right now, we're at around 1,400. Right, as mentioned, obviously, we decided not to add so many cars this mm-hmm. year. Given some of the uncertain economic conditions. However, you know, we're very proud to say that, you know, when we launched Travel in February, we had 400 cars listed on the platform. As of today, we're more than 4,500 cars listed on the Travel platform nationwide.
How active is the user base on Travel?
Very active. So in fact, I mean, if you look at out of the total number of listed cars, at any given point in time, about 20% of these cars are active.
Okay, that's an interesting point to note. But before that, back to the locations. Have you had to consolidate locations in response to the pandemic?
We had to obviously relocate some of the cars. So for example, when universities are closed, mm-hmm. right, due to obviously, you know, the MCO, placing a car in a university does not make sense. So we had to obviously relocate some of these vehicles. And that's actually part of the strengths of our core business, which is we use data all the time to make these business decisions. So any given point in time, even in December, as we enter, you know, the so-called holiday season, we know exactly, you know, from our historical data where the areas of high demand are, and we tend to shift our cars to these areas of high demand.
All right. So a fleet and locations are important, but they don't mean anything without users at the end of the day. Last time around, you had about, I think, a 600,000 membership base, but noted that about a quarter of them were active. What is the active user base now?
This year, obviously, we've actually managed to grow our total platform database to just over 900,000, out of which, you know, 30% are active.
All right. And when we talk about profitability, you mentioned EBITDA profitability earlier, and the initial timeline was 2023 for net income profitability. How significantly has the pandemic impacted that timeline?
I think it was still on course to actually achieve that, especially on the SoCar side. In fact, if we strip out the travel business, I think on the SoCar side, we can probably do that by, you know, 2022. Given our model here, where if we decide not to spend anything on CapEx and our D&A portion decreases, then on a net income basis, you know, we can actually hit profitability as soon as next year.
So that's an interesting point, Leon, because before this, you were asset heavy, right? You had a big depreciation on the books. You had a big fleet.
Yes.
Now you're moving towards the travel, the P2P segment, which is asset light. Is this a signal that the P2P is going to be a bigger part of your business going forward in the longer term?
I think being a platform is going to be a core part of our business. So mm-hmm. I wouldn't limit that just to the peer-to-peer aspect of car sharing, where mm-hmm. people can make money from sharing their cars. One thing that, you know, we realized from our kind of internal analysis that we did, you know, over the course of this year is to understand what we're truly good at. You know, and at SoCar as a group, what we're just fundamentally good at is using technology and data to optimize two key parts of the equation. One is how do we use pricing efficiency to drive up yields on a per car basis? And the other portion is how do we, you know, use our technology to understand and analyze risks to give us a better control of the risk factors that our cars, assets, and our partners and our host cars face on the platform. So very simple, right? You buy a car, if you reduce the number of accidents, you reduce the number of incidents related to it, and you make a healthy revenue, you can make money from it. So what we're good at is using technology to do that. And moving forward into next year, what we realize is the data that we have, the machine learning models that were built internally, do not just offer us plenty of value. It also offers potential partners plenty of value if should they be able to access that data.
All right. Yeah, this is not the first time you've mentioned this in this conversation. Data, partners, becoming a platform. So is that the long-term plan? Has all this been, for the last few years, just been a, let's just call it a proof of concept for you to bring other players onto your platform? Are you an app store for car sharing and the multi-flex environment?
I wouldn't use the word proof of concept. I think for anyone to become a platform, you need to have active customers who have proven that they want to transact on your platform, mm-hmm. who have a transactional relationship, who have proven to want to come back to your platform. We've already proven that across hundreds and thousands of users who come back to our platform, who pay us money to use our product. Then the next question then is, how do we build on that relationship and offer these users, right, all of which holds at least one thing in common, which is a driver's license, more services and more products that they want? Should that be short-term car sharing, mid-term car sharing, additional coverage on their vehicles, right? These are all things that we want to look at in 2021.
Basically, bring people into the walled garden and then upsell them on the various products that you can get.
Anything to do with the automobile ecosystem.
Okay, so anything to do with the automobile ecosystem. Not using the word mobility anymore there, Leon. So you're looking at other things?
I think as mentioned, I think it's no secret that, you know, based on the two things that we're really good at, we've managed to use machine learning to give us a better understanding of things like risk, to give us a better understanding of things like how to increase yield for car rental companies. So business intelligence, risk scoring, these are things that I think we can use to really grow our business. And just to talk about market trends, I think one of the key trends in the US that came out of this pandemic is that demand for per mile insurance, for example, has really spiked and grown exponentially. Why? Because people are driving their own cars less and less, right? But they don't want to pay the same amount of insurance premiums. Same thing with Malaysians, right? For people who used to be able to drive to Penang, JB on a regular basis, now they probably do a way fewer mileage on their own cars. Why should they pay the same insurance premium? But in order for them to move towards a per mile basis, to move towards a usage basis, they probably need partners like us who understand the true usage behavior and the risk behavior of drivers.
And do you offer that now?
It's something that we're looking into, as I mentioned. One of the kind of key verticals that we're looking into at least is how to use this product for internal purposes. So yes, we are looking into that right now. But right now, we won't sell anything to anyone until we're happy with our own solution.
So when I look at all of this, right, it's a play on mobility. It's a play on automobiles. It's basically trying to get people from point A to point B, however possible, right? Whether it's short term, medium term, or even long term, because you do have subscriptions. Now, I inherently understand what the e-hailing market is. I understand what the car subscription market is. But in a country with such a high car ownership, what is the target market of your core short-term car rental service outside of tourism?
Well, in fact, majority of our users who use SoCar are using it on a kind of 3 to 4 hour basis. Mm. Right? This suggests that they're not driving it interstate. Right. What this suggests is there is a very core use case for people who need access to convenience. What we're selling is not just access to a car, it's access to a convenience. So things like parking, things like having to worry about sharing one car within a household of 3 to 4 people, right? A lot of them end up having to buy a second car previously. A lot of them end up having to buy a third car, or some people having to take other forms of transportation. But now we offer them a convenience of having that extra car anywhere they might be at any time, delivered to their doorstep without having to worry about buying a second car.
Yeah, but that may be the case before, right, Leon? But we're seeing car numbers, car sales going up. We've seen both in the first-hand and second-hand market. Yeah. In fact, if some are expecting the SST wave to continue, and if so, analysts are expecting 600,000 vehicles to be sold next year. Public transport use is down. The pandemic has changed behaviors. Why are you so confident that you'll be able to ride this out?
Well, because what we've seen is there's a direct correlation between increase in demand for cars versus increase in demand for testing new car models. I think one of the greatest advantages of our platform is we have, you know, more than 25 different car models on the platform that people can test. If we look at, you know, our most frequent users, on average, they tend to book at least 11 to 12 different car models across the customer lifetime, right? What this means is variety is something that even if you have two cars at home, you don't get. And the good news for us is, you know, we've seen that Malaysians love choice, they love variety, and they love affordability. So that's something that the SoCar platform offers.
All right, Leon, let's get into a few numbers. We've got about a few minutes left here. SoCar Malaysia raised $18 million in Series A funding in February. Good timing that. It was before the pandemic broke out. That pushed your total funding to around $40 million at a valuation of $118 million. The funding was meant for tech enhancements, Malaysian growth, and overseas expansion. That was before the pandemic and the MCO. How has the funding actually been deployed?
It's been deployed in exactly those three key areas. When we talk about technology, earlier touched upon, you know, our pricing efficiency, our machine learning models for risk. Those, you know, we've invested heavily in those models this year, and we're starting to see the results. Malaysian expansion with travel. Now we're not just in Peninsular Malaysia. We're also in Kota Kinabalu with the travel model. We're in Ipoh, we're in JB, you know, Penang, Klang Valley. So, you know, we're very happy with the geographic expansion of our network. And, you know, we're also proud to say that we're beginning to also start testing the travel model in Jakarta, in Indonesia. So, you know, today you open your app, the travel app, you can actually see cars that you can start booking in Indonesia.
And what's the KPI from your shareholders for 2021?
As I mentioned, continue growing the peer-to-peer business. Start understanding how we leverage our core competencies.
Any numbers for the KPI?
Well, I think without going into details, I would say we expect our travel business to at least double in size for 2021.
All right. So a lot of this is being focused on travel, right? That P2P business. So of the funding that you got, how much of that in percentage have you basically committed to growing travel?
So, you know, it's a good thing that you're asking this question because we're in the midst of thinking about our next series of fundraising. Right? Why are we fundraising now, despite us having a, you know, very long runway? It's the fact that fundraising now because we've seen immense potential amidst this pandemic, that there'll be a new trend coming out of this recovery phase, right? With a lot of the airlines having reduced the capacity, right, selling most of their airplanes and moving more towards kind of narrow body airplanes, we foresee air travel capacity to take a while to catch up, right? And tickets will also become more expensive, right, as obviously they will have to make up for the losses suffered this year. With that in mind, we see an initial recovery in the tourism phase to be driven a lot by domestic travel, right? And so we want to invest heavily in that space to be primed to benefit from that. So we're actually raising our Series B round to really focus that on travel, Malaysia, as well as Indonesia, not just to scale the database, but also to allow us to collect a lot more data.
Well, Leon, I wish you all the best. It's been a tough year. Let's hope that 2021 is better for all of us. I've been speaking with Leon Fung, CEO of SoCar Mobility Malaysia, and you've been listening to The Breakfast Grill. I'm Roshan Kunnison for BFM 89.9.
Thank you so much.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U-Mobile, unleashing unlimited potential every day.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.